The Infrastructure and Tourism Appropriations Subcommittee will come to the order. Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Williamson.
Here.
Chair Williamson.
Here.
Vice Chair Romo. Representatives Arrington.
Here.
Bell.
Here.
Casella.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Daly.
Here.
Drake. Ranking Member Hart.
Here.
Representatives Lamarca.
Here.
McFarland. Mooney.
Here.
Persons Maluka.
Here.
Placencia. Silvers.
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Sabrina. I thought you gave me a demotion for just a minute. I thought I did something wrong. Members, thank you for being here this morning. If you have a cell phone or a device on you, please make sure that it's turned off or on vibrate. We have three bills today. We have a consent agenda as well for our appropriations project bills. As a reminder, members, if you wish to vote no on any bill on the consent agenda, please make sure you fill out a nay vote consent agenda form and submit it to staff prior to voting. We're going to take up the three bills first, so that way you have time to fill out the form and think about it. With that being said, we're going to move right into our bills. The first bill that we're going to hear today is CS for HB 753 by Representative Clemens. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. I'd like to present CS for HB 753, Broadband Internet Deployment. This bill, Mr. Chairman, creates the Florida Broadband Opportunity Program within the Florida Broadband Office, and that is housed in the Department of Economic Opportunity. The purpose for this bill is to provide grants for the deployment of broadband internet service in unserved areas. Funding for the program would be provided by reallocating 50% of the revenues currently allocated to the MCORS program into DEO. In summary, this proposed committee substitute bill creates the Florida Broadband Opportunity Program within the office to award grants to applicants to seek the expansion of broadband internet service to unserved areas of the state. And I'll explain what unserved is in a moment. It provides grants that are be used for the installation and deployment of infrastructure that supports that broadband internet service. And it authorizes certain entities to apply for these grants, including for-profit companies, not-for-profit companies, political subdivisions, and Indian tribes. It provides for the application process. It authorizes existing broadband internet providers to challenge grant program applications if the service is already provided or is planned in their business plan for an immediate expansion into that unserved area. In summary, it includes sanctions for failing to perform. So if someone applies for a grant and get it, we can sanction them for not implementing what their plan was on the onset. And it provides the Department of Economic Opportunity with rulemaking authority regarding the office and the grant program. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representatives. We have no amendments today. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Any questions for the bill sponsor? Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized for a question for the sponsor.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. How will this impact DOT and their ability to get some projects out, or will it?
You're recognized.
Through the chair, Representative Hart, that's a great question. I've been informed that it will not impact DOT, because as part of the original bill, DOT was receiving part of the monies to implement broadband expansion from the beginning. So this is a coordination between the Department of Transportation and the Department of Economic Opportunity. And both of them will collaborate in this expansion to bring broadband, and unserved means that you have less than a 25 megabyte download and a 3 megabyte upload. So if your service is less than that, according to this bill, you are deemed unserved because really you do not have high-speed internet.
Ranking Member Hart for a follow-up.
Thank you. I appreciate that answer. I just have one other question. When you say, are we saying underserved communities?
You're recognized.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you for that clarification, Rep. Hart. Originally, before the bill was amended, it originally came out as underserved because there was so much confusion about that term. It was a technical, we decided to amend at the first committee stop to say unserved because we're talking about high-speed internet. So high-speed internet, if you don't have the download and the upload capacities based upon the industry average of 25 and 3, you're basically unserved as it comes to high-speed internet. So it's really unserved.
Thank you, Member Hart. You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just one final question. So when we talk about underserved, we're talking about communities where you may not have any internet at all activity, you know, or maybe we're talking about communities where we have some, but not enough with what's happening with the schools right now. So is there a reason why we took out the word underserved and put in unserved?
You're recognized.
Mr. Chairman, yes, I welcome the opportunity to clarify that. It's a semantical change. Underserved is used by this body and by members of the public for a variety of different explanations. For this technical explanation, and we didn't want it to be confused because we use underserved all the time. So we wanted a demarcation line between high-speed internet access, and you are correct, because of COVID and the pandemic, people working from home, hundreds of thousands of school children making a demand on the very limited bandwidth, it's created a lot of confusion, and the need is more acute today than it ever has been. So for this bill and for this purpose, we decided to not use underserved and have a clear line of distinction between if you have high-speed internet, you're served. If you do not have high-speed internet, you are unserved. So it's just a semantical thing, not to be confused with how we use that term all the time. Does that help?
Representative Lamarca, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Clemens, this is the second time I've heard this bill, and you're getting better at describing that. And my only question is, you've done such a good job. Have you thought about trademarking unserved?
Recognized.
No, sir, I have not. But that is food for thought.
Do we have any other questions for the bill sponsor? Any other questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing no other questions, that moves us to public testimony. We have Mr. Chris Doolin with the Small County Coalition. Mr. Doolin, you're recognized, sir.
How are you, sir? It's been a year since I've been down here. The end of last session. It's kind of strange, isn't it? At any rate, my name is Chris Doolin. I work with the Small County Coalition and small school districts. The foundation of what we want to do, I think generally speaking, is every household and business in every area of Florida should have access to affordable, reliable, high-speed internet. Last year, you passed 969. Representative Drake was the primary sponsor on that. It provided the skeleton for approaching a comprehensive plan. This provides part of the meat on the bone for this program. This program, not this bill per se, will require effective mapping, process, oversight, funding, and accountability. We want to make sure in the end game that people do what they say and what we need, and it increases access. We applaud the speaker in his opening remarks said, and that's probably why the bill's moving so well, that he wants to see the gap closed. This is not about urban or rural. It's about having access to the speed. So we're going to work through the process. We support the accountability measures. Anytime you have a predominant provider, they're going to be concerned. But let's make sure that they are providing where the service does not exist. And this bill gets to that. There are other bills that have other areas that we need to look at. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you, and I appreciate taking the time. Normally, I'll just wave, but, you know, this is a priority. This is a major priority for the state everywhere in Florida.
Thank you, Mr. Dillon. Do we have any questions for the presenter? All right. We appreciate you being here. That moves us to Taylor Bill with Space Exploration Technologies, Waves in Support. Zane Smith, AARP, waving in support. James Mosteller, Foundation of Florida's Future, waving in support. And Jeff Sharkey with Space Exploration Technology, waving in support. Is there any other public testimony? Seeing none, that moves us to debate. Members in debate, seeing no debate, you are recognized to close on your bill.
I'll waive, Mr. Chairman.
Having waived close, Ms. Sabrina, please call the vote on CS for HB 753.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Romo?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Casella?
Yes.
Cheney? Daly?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Lamarcker?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Maluka?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays, Chair.
Members, by your vote, CS for HB 753 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you.
Members, that moves us to bill number 2 on the agenda today. House Bill 77 by Representative Overdorf, diesel exhaust fluid. Representative Overdorf, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chairman. Diesel exhaust fluid is a non-toxic, non-hazardous, and colorless aqueous solution that's 32% automotive-grade urea in water, now that I have your attention. The DEF technology is often used with vehicles located on municipal airports, vehicles such as luggage handlers, fuel trucks, stair trucks, aircraft handlers, etc. The current technology of DEF technology allows for compliance with the Clean Air Act of 1990 for all off-road vehicles. However, when DEF is mixed with jet fuel, it forms crystalline deposits in the fuel, and this can clog the fuel filters and other components of a jet aircraft. That's not good when you're at altitude. This bill will mitigate the potential for DEF contamination by creating requirements for airports within Florida to have a written plan that's certified by the local airport authority or governing body and is certified on an annual basis. The bill is intended to save lives, prevent property damage, and lower the possibility of human error causing a catastrophic event. While there is no impact on state revenues, FDOT may have an insignificant negative impact with the reviewing of plans, but this can be absorbed with existing resources. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. There are no amendments today. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized for a question for the sponsor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. Did we see this bill last year?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am, we did. Unfortunately, our friends in the Senate didn't get it across the finish line.
Do we have any other questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Casella, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill forward. The certification that they have to achieve, is there any penalties involved if they don't follow through with that, or is any kind of monetary fines involved with this?
You're recognized.
At this point, there are not, other than what is in the DOT structure. In DOT, they'll be sent a warning letter for noncompliance, et cetera. It could at some point get to that point. However, this particular bill does not contemplate fines or fees associated with it. This is really, we've had this emerging issue since 2017. Unfortunately, the folks that are associated with the airports have not completed some type of mitigation plan. Unfortunately, we have to go the legislative route to get this done because, frankly, it's a clear and present danger to Florida, and Florida's one of the top airport destinations for private aircraft, which is what this affects. So at this point in time, no, we do not have a fine and fee. That would maybe something we'll look at in the future. But we are really looking for compliance here and an opportunity to get that compliance.
Do we have any other questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing no other questions, that moves us to public testimony. We have Lisa Waters with the Florida Airports Council. Ms. Waters, you're recognized.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Williamson and Vice Chair Rommel and Minority Leader Hart for entertaining this bill. FAC represents all of the public use airports in the state of Florida, all 128 of them. Some of them are independent districts, some of them are dependent districts, some of them are owned by city and county authorities. FAC does not support this bill as it is currently written. However, we have reached out to the representative with some questions for some amendments. The bill addresses an issue that is already the focus of airports statewide. Unfortunately, I think the representative sort of misrepresented what airports have been doing since the issues really came to forefront in 2017. National industry leaders, including the FAA, immediately developed a task force to help address this issue. And their recommendation was incorporated into the FAA's advisory circular that is now in draft form that addresses best management practices for DEF on airports. The bill, basically, we feel like this is an unnecessary legislation. The bill requires the airport sponsor to certify the certain actions and standards for securing DEF within the premises of the airport are made and interferes with the contractual relationships between fuel service providers, basically the gas station on the airport, and the airport sponsor, including legal obligations for airport sponsors, for public airports and their FBOs, potentially exposing airports to vicarious litigation. This is an issue that, unfortunately, the staff analysis that I've gone through now twice does not even address. It only addresses potential issues, which it doesn't do very well. The bill requires the airport to submit a plan to DOT for no real substantive action. The Florida Airports Council, after an issue was raised in 2017, our airports began implementing the National Air Transportation Association's recommendations on dealing with DEF. Since then, the Airport Council has taken specific action to develop a statewide plan, the first one in the nation, by the way, to incorporate the best management practices implemented by the industry and the Federal Aviation Administration into a plan that airport sponsors would adhere to. So we're actively continuing to work on this issue. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about what the council has done and our views on this legislation, and I invite any questions that you might have for me.
Thank you, Ms. Waters. Do we have any questions for the speaker? All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
All right. Any other public testimony today? Seeing none, that moves us to debate. Members in debate. Seeing no debate, Representative, you're recognized to close on your bill. Let me back up. Representative Daly in debate.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I was just going to thank Rep. Overdorf for bringing this good bill, and it's the third Rep. Overdorf bill I'm able to vote up on this week. It's the hat trick, so looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Daly. You have to be quick to the draw with me running the show. Do you have anybody else in debate? All right. You're recognized to close.
Chairman, thank you. To just answer a couple of things on the Airport Council side, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, here we're in 2021. Nothing has been done by the Airport Council. I don't want to have to put legislation forward, but what's going to happen in 2021 when the next incident happens? Hopefully, it won't be a loss of life and a loss of property, and that's why I'm running this bill. Members, thank you for your support.
Having closed on the bill, Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 77.
Vice Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Casella?
Yes.
Cheney? Daly?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Maluka?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, House Bill 77 will be reported favorably.
Thank you, members.
All right, members, that moves us to the last policy bill for today, HB 249 by Representative Tant, specialty license plates. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for hearing this bill. House Bill 249 is a bill that creates a single specialty license plate to support all of Florida's 175 state parks. This will fund aging infrastructure needs in our parks across the state. By the way, our state parks are a four-time winner of our nation's National Gold Medal Winner of Excellence, the only park system in the country to have more than one award. Our parks generate $205 million in state tax revenue for our state. They create over 48,000 jobs and play a key role in attracting 22 million visitors to our state annually. So some of the aging infrastructure needs that need to be addressed are restoring seagrass, longleaf pine ecosystem replacement and restoration, and animal habitat restoration, repairing and refurbishing cabins, welcome centers, bathrooms, and interior structure, replacing roofs and repairing boardwalks, trails, and roads. They're also working on building new ADA-accessible playgrounds and access to beach. The cost of these repairs overall is about $1 billion, and this will create a revenue stream to help do this outside of impacting our state budget.
Thank you, Representative. Do we have there are no amendments today. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Bell, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chairman. How many tags do you have to sell within the first year for it to continue on?
That's a great question.
You're recognized.
Thank you, sir. 3,000 tags are required for a non-school entity that wants a tag. And what the park system did is actually did a quick 24-hour, if we had a tag, would you commit to buying it? And within 24 hours, 1,000 people requested a tag. And additionally, with 22 million visitors, 20,000 volunteers, and 1,300 staff, they feel very confident that they'll meet the threshold.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have any other Representative Lamarca for a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, thank you for bringing this bill forward. You'd mentioned 3,000 tags, non-school. Was that you were referring to the change that was made last year for the independent colleges?
You're recognized.
I believe so. Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you. I believe so, yes. I understand that our schools don't only have to sell 1,000.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the bill sponsor? All right, seeing no other questions, that moves us to public testimony. No public testimony today. Members in debate. Members in debate, Representative Daly for just the Daly Double.
Thank you,
sir. You're recognized in debate.
Thank you, sir. Just briefly, I want to thank Representative Tant for working on this great bill. So often we think of the beaches and we think of the theme parks and all those other things, but we gloss over the true gems that are our state parks.
They really are.
I really appreciate you bringing this.
Thank you.
Any other members in debate? Members in debate, seeing none, that moves us. You're recognized to close.
Wave close, and thank you for hearing the bill.
Having waved close, Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll on House Bill 249.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Romo?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Casella?
Yes.
Cheney? Daly?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Maluka?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
14 yeas and 0 nays, Chair.
Thank you.
Members, by your vote, HB 249 will be reported favorably. Members, we're going to stand in probably about a 1 to 2 minute informal recess for just a second. All right, members, we're going to start back up. Ms. Sabrina, will you please call the roll again?
Chair Williamson?
Here.
Vice Chair Romo?
Here.
Representatives Arrington?
Here.
Bell?
Here.
Casella?
Here.
Cheney, Daly,
here.
Drake,
yes.
Ranking Member Hart,
here.
Representatives Lamarca,
yes.
McFarland,
yes.
Mooney,
yes.
Persons Maluka,
here.
Placencia,
here.
Silvers,
here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
All right, members, quorum is back present. So now we have the consent agenda for today. And remember that if there are any bills that are on the consent agenda that you want to vote no for, you can fill out the form. You need to do it ASAP. But we're going to take up the consent agenda. We'll vote once on the agenda in its entirety. We are not going to take up question, debate, and vote on each bill individually. Instead, we'll be in question and debate only once. And you may vote no on any particular bill by submitting the nay vote consent agenda form with our staff before the vote. Are there any questions on the consent agenda? Any questions on the consent agenda? Seeing no questions, is there public testimony? We have Connie Vanash with Hardy County Board of County Commissioners waiving in support of HB 2249. We have Sam Wagoner waving in support of HB 2483, and he represents Hernando County government. We have Taylor Bill with City of St. Petersburg waving in support of HB 2765. Seeing no other public testimony, is there debate? Members in debate. All right, before I call the vote, are there any nay vote forms on the consent agenda? I believe that we have two. We have a nay vote consent form from Representative Daly on House Bill 2709. And we have a nay vote form from Representative Silvers on House Bill 2709. All right, members, just remember that a yes vote signifies affirmative on all the bills on the agenda. Representatives Daly and Silvers, obviously you've submitted your no for the two bills that you have. Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll on the consent agenda.
Vice Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Casella?
Yes.
Cheney? Daly?
Yes.
Drake? Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Maluka?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
14 yeas, zero nays.
Members, by your vote, please show the consent agenda passes. All the bills on the consent agenda will be reported favorably, and the nay votes were read into the record earlier. Members, that brings us to the end of the day today. I appreciate your work in getting through those bills fairly quickly. Seeing that no other business comes before us, Representative LaMarca moves we rise, and with that, we are adjourned.